Homeland Security designed its Continuous Diagnostics and Monitoring System, or CDM, to help agencies combat cyber threats. CDM, in theory at least, helps fortify agency networks and lets cybersecurity staffs diagnose and fix the most pressing problems. But could CDM have made a difference in the data breach at the Office of Personnel Management? Cyber expert Ralph Kahn, Vice President of Federal at Tanium, joins me now with some answers. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
All right. So, could it have?
So, just like anything else, there's no one magic silver bullet that's going to stop a hack. Certainly, CDM, fully implemented would help, would make the target harder. But at the end of the day, I think we can all assume that, we're all vulnerable to hacking.
So the question is, when you have CDM, what do you see? What do you monitor for? I guess, what do you monitor for? And then what are you looking for?
So there's levels, right? So the first level is basic cyber hygiene. Are you patched? Do you have the right processes and procedures in place? Are you looking at the basic tenets of your IT infrastructure? Beyond that, then you start moving into some more advanced situational awareness kinds of things. And as you move through the phases of CDM, the capabilities get more mature, more sophisticated, and give you higher degrees of protection.
Because what I've seen a little dichotomy between what people are discussing over this OPM breach. They say that, they've discovered that there was an unknown process running somewhere in their network, and that was the clue, and then they went and that led to the breach and so forth. But when you talk to people about continuous monitoring, usually what they're saying, or diagnostics, is making sure that your software is up to date in terms of patches. But application patching doesn't seem to have been the answer to what happened here at OPM.
Right. So there is, kind of no one answer. If there was a magic silver bullet, all of the agencies would employ it, and hacking, would be a lot harder. The bottom line is it's very, very difficult to prevent every possible intrusion. And I think what agencies really ought to be focused on is seeing them more quickly and remediating them more quickly, right? You're going to get hacked. I think that's axiomatic at this point. I think what agencies are focused on, and I think what CDM helps with, is, let's spot it quicker and let's do something about it quicker. And then let's make the target harder so that the barrier to hacking somebody is higher.
And so, yeah, making the barrier harder, because that statement, it makes sense, of course, but then you're also making it in the context of the sheer number of network attacks. We heard the VA CIO in recent months has been talking about something like a billion tries a month at VA systems. I guess that's pretty much the way it is at a lot of large organizations. And so how does the velocity and density of the attacks coming affect someone's ability to harden it? Or if it's hard, it doesn't matter.
So, the interesting thing is many agencies stop millions of attacks a year, and you never hear about those. You hear about the OPM hacks because they've succeeded. And that's the irony here, is the bad guys have to be right once. We have to be right 100% of the time. And it's very difficult. The velocity causes a lot of noise. If you're a defender, you're really not sure what signals to find in the noise and what to pay attention to, right? You don't see those indicators coming because there's so much noise there. And one of the things CDM helps you do is reduce the noise. You make yourself a harder target. That means that a lot of those attacks, they just don't show up on your radar. So now, instead of being really, really busy on your screen, you can see very clearly what some of the things are that might be attacking you.
So I guess one measure of whether a tool is good or not is if it narrows down the information that it serves to the security staff, as opposed to giving them too much information.
Well, so there's a couple different ways to look at that. Yes, the less information the security staff has to look at, the better. The issue you have with that is today's vulnerabilities are very sophisticated and move very quickly. So what you really probably need is technology that lets them look at all the vulnerabilities and then tell them which ones they find. So you need technology that moves fast, that gives you data in real time, and that looks at all the vulnerabilities. You can't tell on any given day what vulnerability the attacker is going to pick to use, so you need to look for all of them. But when you get the data back, you just want to look at the ones where you've seen the indicators, where you've seen things that appear in your network.
Now, agencies talk from time, I've heard many of the CISOs say there's lots of tools out there. The problem is not tools, but making sense of the information they give. And a lot of tools advertise that they send alerts. And I've seen, some of the web dashboards for these network monitoring tools. And, there's a bunch of green dots and watch out for the red dot. I guess my question is, how do you assimilate all of this information in such a way that you can respond quickly, say the moment it happens?
So there is a lot of data about what's going on in the network. And in recent years, what I think organizations have discovered is they need to marry that data also with what's going on in the host. And that's one of the things that I think CDM is going to help with a lot, right? Einstein was designed to instrument the network and inspect the network and protect your network. Does a really good job at that. That data needs to be married up with the things from CDM so that you can begin to correlate what's happening on your host with what's happening in your network and get a true picture, kind of 360 degrees, of what's going on.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit more. You make a distinction between the network and network telemetry, what's going on there, and the host. So the host means the computers on the network, and the network is basically the computers that are the network, the switches and all of that gear.
Yeah, so when I say host, I mean any computer you might sit at work and type into or use, or any device for that matter, whether it be, you know, a tablet, an iPhone, a Windows PC, a Mac, whatever.
All right, so getting back to Einstein, there's Einstein 1, 2, 3, there's all these versions. And yesterday, I think it was Andy Osmond at the Homeland Security Department testified before Congress that Einstein is great, except that OPM had the previous version of it, which can only detect threats that are known to it. But really, if that's easy, what about the zero-day threats? And when will Einstein, to your knowledge, be able to stop those?
So, you know, I'm not,
or is it by definition something it can't stop?
Yeah, so I'm not intimately familiar with, you know, kind of the details of the next generation of Einstein. What I will say is that Einstein does a great job monitoring the network. There are newer technologies coming out that Einstein can employ. And as Einstein links up with CDM and it begins to get a more 360-degree view of what's going on at the host and in the network. So in other words, the network sees something suspicious, but it can go out and check on all of those endpoints, on all of those hosts. Okay, is that same thing in existence there? And if it is, what do I do about it? And there are technologies available today that can do that in real time.
Now, you sell software. I mean, a lot of companies do, and that's aimed right at this very problem. And so what's your sense? I'm not leading this question, but what's your sense of why would the government spend all of this time and effort building something like Einstein when there's a whole gigantic industry of monitoring tools that private companies are using, apparently with success?
So I think the great thing about Einstein is it embodies government best practices. Homeland Security is a very smart organization as it relates to security. They have a lot of really smart people. They've spent a lot of time looking at all the problems and all the hacks. And what Einstein represents is kind of the best practice for the government in terms of protecting your network. So rather than having agencies spend that money individually and get varying results, you have one really strong agency spending that money and sharing those results with all of the agencies. And I think it's a much stronger approach.
So Einstein might even be a bundle of commercial tools, but configured in such a way that it helps the government with its unique problems.
That's right. I mean, if you look at the variety of agencies have different capabilities. There's some very small agencies, and then there are big agencies. The big ones probably have the resources and staff to, you know, kind of do more effective cyber defense. But the smaller ones don't, right? Einstein levels the playing field. It makes sure everybody gets the best practices.
We're speaking with Ralph Kahn. He's the vice president of federal at Tanium. And we've been talking a lot about the technologies needed that might have been in place. But it sounds like in the case of OPM and really a lot of agencies and a lot of commercial entities that have been hacked famously in the last year and a half or so. But it seems like the issue is management of cybersecurity as much as the technology. And as you approach companies and as you approach federal agencies with your particular product, what do you see in terms of their sophistication of their management of this whole problem?
So, you know, one of the biggest challenges agencies have today is that they're organized in a way that isn't natural to respond to an incident. Over time, what's become apparent is that the incident responders and the IT operations staff need to work really closely together to respond to an incident. Organizationally, at many agencies, they don't reside in the same organization, and that just makes cooperation more, more difficult. So, you know, my advice to agencies is look at those two organizations and find ways to help them cooperate, find common tools, find common processes, and give them the information they need to operate in real time, because that's where the bad guys are. They're operating in microseconds.
Ms. Archuleta said that she's going to convene, this is the director of OPM, is going to convene a summit of private security experts and to get together with some of her people. And what should she be looking for in industry as in terms of best practices for dealing with cyber and keeping all of these threats at bay?
So, you know, I think a diversity of opinion is always good. I think you have to look at a 360-degree view of your IT infrastructure. You have to look at the network. You have to look at the hosts. You have to be able to have data that is real time. In other words, what I'm seeing at the network, I have to be able to see that in real time on the hosts and vice versa. Ideally, those folks can advise her about the data, how the data from those different places play together and how to analyze that, reduce it to something useful and take action on it.
All right. And so getting back to what happened again at OPM, there was a they detected something anomaly, and then that led them to the database information. But what's unclear to me is what do you look for? What's the process by which you link that process running, you know, from some kind of a worm or some kind of a, you know, advanced persistent threat? And gee, this database has been exfiltrated. How do they know that?
So, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The idea here is to be able to see them sooner. You're going to get hacked. So the question is, what do you look for? And there are lots of indicators, right? DHS does a great job collecting indicators about all of the past threats and all the past hacks. And those are packaged in something called an IOC, indicator of compromise, which are in a standard format that software can consume. And there are technologies out there that can consume them and give you that data back in real time. So if you find that indicator, you can see, okay, it's running in 100 places in my enterprise, and now I want to take action. I want to quarantine those or kill the process or whatever. That technology exists today. That's kind of the state of the art, if you will. Taking it to the next level, you really want behavioral technology. The bad guys change their approach very, very frequently. So rather than looking for a particular exploit which changed, you want to look for a behavior. Are they exfiltrating a lot of data? Are they sending it out of the network? Are they logging into systems they haven't logged into before or trying to impersonate others in order to get access to data? Those are all things that you can see if you have that real-time visibility.
So the issue then becomes reacting in time to prevent that exfiltration, but also discovering what's going on. So you can't kind of discover it and then a month later see what it did.
That's right. So one of the other benefits when you have that telemetry in real time, not only from the network and the host, is that you catch them in time to catch all the forensic data. You can see what they did, how they got in, and what are called TTPs, you know, techniques and procedures that the bad guys are using. And when you get those, then you can start looking for behaviors. And when you start looking for behaviors, it makes it harder for the bad guys to hide. When it's harder for them to hide, the data that your security guys get is much more focused, much clearer, and allows them to act much faster.
And the question of encryption of databases has come up. And one of the reasons that OPM has given that it did not encrypt that database is because the tools and, I guess, the applications on top of it were written in COBOL. Is that accurate to say that you can't encrypt something under COBOL, or how does that all work?
So, you know, it is true that there are a lot of old legacy systems out there in the government, not just at OPM, right? And it's much more difficult to secure them because those systems were not designed for today's kinds of cybersecurity threats, right? They were designed for threats 10 years ago, 20 years ago that existed, and they're very, very different now. With that said, there are still things you can do to look at the behavior of those systems, monitor the applications. In a lot of cases, you can encrypt the data at rest, but it just depends on the system. So, you know, there are other ways you can protect. You can have, you know, kind of whole disk encryption kind of systems. There are a variety of different technologies you can employ and different techniques. It just depends on the application.
Seems like that's a great business opportunity for somebody, is how to encrypt COBOL applications or something.
So, you know, I think securing legacy applications is a little bit like the Y2K problem, right? There needs to be some money and effort spent, and it's not that hard, but there needs to be a focus on it because we're only as strong as our weakest link. And right now, our weakest link is a lot of those very old legacy systems.
All right. And I want to ask you the same question I've been asking a lot of the cyber experts we've had on, based on your experience and watching all of this. And you don't have to render an opinion. This is not putting you on the spot. But in your experience, do you think this is insider threat? Or if it's outside, is it Russia or China?
So, you know, I'm not qualified to comment on who did this. I suspect you can probably read about it in the press. And I would almost argue that it's a little bit irrelevant. As long as it's a bad actor and they're getting our data, that's not a desired outcome, right? There are lots of those bad actors, and they have various different purposes for which they get the data, but none of them are good.
All right. Ralph Kahn is the Vice President of Federal at Tanium. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you.